always keen to chat with Darren Haynes, flamesfrom80feet.ca. Mr. Haynes, we have Flames news, little tidbits here and there, but we'll take anything we can get between now and the draft lottery on April 30th.
Yeah, hockey's evolved into a year-round thing, the way, you know, from the season to the playoffs, and for those less fortunate that don't get to partake in the playoffs, you know, you start looking towards off-season moves and draft lottery and the draft and all sorts of stuff. A little steady stream of information pretty much coming on all the time, really. Maybe what a soft spot in August, and then you go again.
It's true. And you know what? There's even more of one developing in early July, where normally we saw free agency last a week or two. Now it seems like with that courting period, everything's done July 1, 2, 3, and then that seems to be a bit of a pause. They let players sweat and go deal hunting in August.
Yeah, so certainly, and I think here, you know, and well, probably most cities, but especially here when the focus is future looking, I mean, there's always a lot of anticipation around getting the first look at guys that they just drafted at development camp and going watching them practice. Watching practices has never been more exciting than it is up at COP,
yeah,
or Winsport, rather, on that first or second week of July.
Well, why don't we start, I suppose, the tie-in development camp. I remember being there last summer, and you and I were chatting with Jakob Nakladal, trying to figure out how to say his last name, and he had mentioned he'd never set foot on North American soil before. A Czech defenseman closer to 30 than 20, but a guy that the Flames thought they could add some depth with. Do you see any similarities between that signing and the rumored signing of Daniel Pribbel, a big Czech forward who tips the scales at almost 240 pounds that is expected to be done as soon as it's allowed to be done?
Well, they're from the same country, but, you know, different situations, right? You know, a guy, I mean, they're, what, three or four years difference in age. And I think the situation with Pribbel is he's coming into, and this is, of course, speculative, nothing officially announced yet, but assuming all the reports are accurate, and we pretty much know them to be true, and Daniel Pribbel will be a member of the Calgary Flames. He's coming into a situation where today he plays a position where it is very thin, and that was not the situation for Nakladal. He was coming in, and he, you know, when we talked to him, you know, at I guess last Monday, you know, he expected to play all year in Calgary. But how realistic that was, you know, he wouldn't have necessarily had the same sense of the depth. And maybe at that time, we weren't sure about Ladislav Smead and whatnot. But, there was a lot of veterans on big deals that solidified ahead of Nakladal on the depth chart. And that isn't the situation as of right now. Things can change over the summer. But if you're Daniel Pribbel, how would you not be very interested in the and attracted to the situation in Calgary where it's a young team? It's a team that needs guys at the position that he can play and even has an opening on the first line. I think it's a bit of a long shot and very optimistic to expect him to play there, at least immediately. But certainly, you know, that was part of the courting for that player.
What would be a reasonable expectation for him? I know that everyone's keen to say he's going to play top line with Johnny and Monty, but are there comparables of guys that have come out of that league? Is there a sense of how NHL ready he is?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I really would like to see him, you know, firsthand, and that's why I'm hoping that they bring him to a development camp, just like they did with Nakladal, who normally would not be a guy that would go to something like that, but they did so purposely so he can come over to the city, get orientated to the city, meet the coaching staff, get a little bit of direction from the Flames management and front office and then the coaching staff in terms of training, that sort of thing. So hoping he does, and when we see him in July, we can kind of see the player on the ice and just feel a little bit better about talking about those attributes, because I'd be lying to you if I told you I've seen him play. So, I mean, it's really hard to know, but I think certainly tempered expectations would be the way to go into that if you're a fan. He's going to be signing a two-way deal. Very easily can go and play in the AHL in Stockton, and may never leave there. You never know. But certainly what you have to like is he was second in the league in scoring. It's not a bad league. I mean, it's one of the better leagues in Europe. So scoring goals. What they say, scoring goals is the hardest thing to do. So he's got some attributes. He's got the size. He ticks a lot of the boxes that they're looking for. So, you know, if he comes in and can make the team and maybe play kind of in a middle six role, I'll say, I think they're laughing.
Yeah, and you know what? The one comparison that no one's going to want to make is now unavoidable since I've gone to the Czech Extraliga scoring race. He finished second in league scoring, too. Drum roll, please.
Yeah, Roman Cervenka.
Yeah. Jay, round of applause, please. Roman Cervenka, best player outside the NHL.
Yeah, he had... but that was a tough situation for him. You know, that was, of course, the lockout year where there was pretty much no training camp, very abbreviated by the time they got that thing solved and got back to playing hockey. He had blood clotting issues. He wasn't on the ice. Like, he was kind of in catch-up mode the whole time. There was some confusion about what position he plays. It didn't come together very well.
He plays center the whole time. He was billed as a center, and he ended up, he was a winger? That's what it was? I mean, this was a very awkward situation for the hockey club because they sold him as one thing, and he showed up talking about another.
Yeah, and also, you know, not that Jay Feaster ever had the reputation for kind of going out there with quotes and hyping up players, but that's kind of exactly what happened with Cervenka. And I'm pretty sure that if you were to cut and paste the quotes that Jay Feaster said about Cervenka when they signed him, that's not the kind of language that's going to be coming out of Brad Treliving's mouth when they officially announce this signing. I know he's going to downplay it. He's just, it's a low risk. This guy could turn into something, and that's what you want to do. Let's set this guy up for some success rather than bill him so high where really it's going to be hard to meet those expectations.
Well, and you know what? Feaster did do that. If there was one knock on his resume, I'm sure there's a few. The CBA misinterpretation on the O'Reilly offer sheet would be the biggest blunder, but he always went out and said things he didn't have to say. He was too good with the media. Remember the Jankowski draft? He trades down from, 14? Buffalo takes Girgensons there. They take Buffalo's first and second. They select Jankowski and then Seeloff. And instead of saying, look, we like these guys, we'll wait and see, they have to say, oh, we think we'll have two of the best 10 players. There's a lot of Joe Nieuwendyk here in 5 years back. Like, don't think, because that's not what your answer is. It can only hurt you. If he is, no one gives you any credit because it was stated as fact. And if you're wrong, then everyone's just throwing harpoons at you.
Yep. So, you know, expect, and it's going to be an adjustment, right? Like, you know, you were there, we were talking to Nicolato last week, and he talked about how, I mean, it's a different game when you go to the North American ice. You know, everything's on top of you quicker, you know, and he was obviously talking from a defenseman perspective, but you have less time, you have less space, you got to really be good with your stick because everything is just tighter in front of the net. So there's going to be similar adjustments for a guy that's coming over. And again, same situation. He's never played North America at all, so there is going to be an adjustment. The team has the luxury of being able to take it slowly with them. It should be a 2-year deal, so it's not like they have to really hurry up and make a decision, which they kind of were after. We're in the situation with Nikladl. So we'll see. And you know, you're funny to go back to the Cervenka thing. You know, I think he finished that year with 20 points or close to it, almost 10 goals. The numbers, actually, considering the kind of wayward, you know, the way his season went was kind of wonky, weren't actually that bad, all things considered. So, you know, we'll see how this one turns out. There is, you know, one difference, I think, probably still very much more of a coming up prospect. He's 23. Cervenka was 26 or 27 when he came over. So there's differences like that, but it's an intriguing signing. It's a no risk. I mean, you could say low risk, but then, well, what is the? I don't think there's a risk at all. So I think it's a great signing. It's the kind of creative GMing that Brad Treliving kind of needs to do in this era, where you're looking for value contracts when you're going to have some very pricey ones that you're trying to surround and on that roster.
You get 7 draft picks a year, so you've got to use all other methods possible to add talent and assets, and this has become one. And you're right about Cervenka. People were more pissed off about the situation than the actual results at the end of the year. It was a lockout-shortened year, and he basically was on pace for a 20-goal season if he played 82. That's not really fall on your face bad for a guy that never played in the league before and was technically a rookie. I mean, it just was how things went and how bad the year was, and they ended up selling, you know, Jerome and Bomeister, and Kipper retires and Tongay's gone. I mean, it was a disaster of a year that he kind of in different circumstances, the same results with lower expectations might have been just fine or seen as a success.
Yeah, and isn't that always the case in not just hockey, but in sports where timing can be everything and situation. And maybe that just wasn't the right fit at the right time. And along with just this wasn't set up very well.
And I did notice off the top, Pribble is how we're saying it, not Pribble. And I don't know. I was just, going to do it until someone corrected me. And now I'm taking notes. Are we comfy with that? Or are we going to change it in 6 months like we did, like we saw with Tony Ludman when he got traded? Or are we going to see the Jacob Markstrom? Like, what are we sure on this?
Well, let's ask him in July. I mean, we had the first hand. I mean, if anyone knows how to pronounce his name, it's that guy. And yeah. Right from July, whatever it was, Jakub McLaughlin said it's McLaughlin. Yet it took until about middle of September before people finally came around on that. So, that's just the way it goes with international players.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, elsewhere, we had some Hiller news this morning. He signs in Switzerland with Biel, one of the clubs in Swiss League A, almost Swiss League B. They had to play off to keep their spot in the A-League and not be relegated. They narrowly avoid relegation. They're going to get a goalie. I don't know how he will do in Switzerland, but is there any parting thoughts on Jonas Hiller? I would say one of the unsung heroes of last year's team. And then this year, a dumpster fire, a bullseye on him, the whipping boy, and a dreadful season, the worst goaltender in the NHL that got any amount of starts that we're talking about.
Well, I mean, you look back. I mean, his save percentage of sub 800 or 880, so at 879, was the sixth worst in the last 20 years.
Oh.
There's a lot of small goal pads and small equipment on that list if you go back over the names. I mean, it's the worst save percentage in Calgary team history in over 25 years. You get into Doug Dadswell territory. So, yeah, it was a rotten year. It was and it was on all the goalies. It was on the GM for having three to start the year. He said that was a mistake and that's not something he'd do again. And Hiller was and the other thing, I guess from an observation, a week ago, we were talking to him at the Saddle Dome, and now he's signed a new deal. And I don't think for a second that this hasn't been in the works for a while. And if you thought Jonas Hiller was maybe a little distracted down the stretch and you heard rumblings about maybe not have that same focus and practice and whatnot, I think the writing was on the wall for quite a while. And I think, he mentioned that when we had that last chat with him, kind of hoping maybe expansion. Come on. I think that was some lip service, and I think this was ultimately going to be the way. And he's probably come to this conclusion a few months ago.
He wasn't exactly pumping Bob's tires either. It seemed like he knew it wasn't going to be a future here. So, why not go out guns ablaze? And he didn't think he had, the opportunity to succeed, which is a little crazy given that he had starts at five of the first eight games.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure if we had Bob Hartley off the record or we might be wondering how many teams Hiller was thinking the NHL might be expanding to find him a job. So, it goes both ways, right?
And you know what? Bob's very familiar with the Swiss League. I'm sure he'd give us a good assessment of where he slides in the NLA in terms of how good he'd be. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say he won't have to face Austin Matthews, though, next year. So
that's true. That is true. Barry Colts are still going, and a couple Flames prospects there that have been really good this year.
Yeah, they just,
winning.
For a draft, you look back at that draft last year, and it had all the setup to be potentially a not a very good draft, down the road, right? They traded their first round pick. They traded their own second round pick. They weren't going until late in the second round. So to emerge from that draft with Rasmus Anderson and Andrew Mangiapane, who are teammates, coincidentally, and to have them really just build on their year last year and have even better years this year. And the Flames organization got to be really pleased with the way that has gone so far. I mean, obviously there's a long way to go, but those are two very exciting players and they're into the third round now in the OHL playoffs. And, if you're a Flames fan, you should be hoping that they can go a couple more rounds and then you can drive up the highway and see him in Red Deer in May. So I think Barry is going pretty well right now. They just finished, I believe they swept North Bay in their last series. So they have had like about a week off before they get going. I think maybe it's Thursday. But, two exciting players that I'm really interested to see come this fall. I mean, Rasmus Anderson impressed us so much last September, it's easy to think he'll probably go to the A because that's the best move to do with developing defensemen, that sort of thing. But I get the sense that he may not be there for long. He is a defensive they're really high of, and for good reason.
That would be something. A guy taking what, number 50-ish, like there. Because they did, it wasn't their pick in the second round. They traded that. Was it Vancouver's or Washington's?
Yeah, I think it was 53.
Yeah, like that's impressive. If a guy, you know, a year removed from being taken was in your roster, that especially at defense, I mean, that really would be bucking the odds. But they think they've got someone here. I sort of take everything into the grain of salt. Major Junior Ryan House scored 51 goals in that league once and couldn't do anything at the American League level. But there's a different feel here because he was trending the right direction. He was finally getting his fitness into shape. They knew there was the talent and thinking the game was there. A lot easier to get in shape than to start, you know, getting a brain functioning if it wasn't thinking hockey before.
Yeah, and he's got experience in the Swedish Elite League, right? So we talk about Pribal, and we're talking about the Czech Extra Liga. Well, that league is not the same league as the Swiss League. I mean, the Swedish League. The Swedish League is probably considered the best one over there. And Rasmus Anderson has already played in that. He was playing with men playing in that league before he decided to come over to to the OHL and get into Canada. So I mean, he's got a wide range of experience. And it's going to be a player that looks like quite a find at 53. I mean, we heard so much about Oliver Chillington, yet when that pick came to Calgary, they were no doubter going with Anderson. They had him higher. So, you know all the hype that went with Chillington, and yet they had Anderson rated higher on their list, which kind of put another way to look at it and put it into some perspective.
What else is on the radar? Are you just sitting at home with green and white pom-poms watching the Stars every other night in terms of Flame stuff? I mean, that would be something if you could find another first rounder for another big chip at the poker table for Treliving at the draft.
I'm enjoying the playoff hockey for sure. There's some interesting storylines going on. That's obviously one for Flames fans to follow. You wonder about the health of Chris Russell and whether they thought maybe that was a little more in control than it was. It wasn't a very good effort last night from Dallas, and they better maybe have some urgency because suddenly Minnesota reels off two wins in a row. That series is going to look a little different. So the Dallas angle is certainly one. I mean, it's still going to be awfully tough to get to that Western Conference final. That St. Louis-Chicago series, I'm very much enjoying. Two very good teams. For Dallas to topple whichever team comes out of there, should they beat Minnesota, is going to be a big task. But that's certainly one storyline. I'm really enjoying the Predators. Like, they're the team that I think we maybe underestimated a little bit. I know I did. You kind of forget that they did play in the Central Division where they didn't have maybe the same freebie points that the teams in the Pacific had, yet they still had a very respectable record, and I think they're showing why. So really interested to see how that Predator series turns out. So, keeping an eye on the playoffs, trying to get over this sinus infection that I've had for about 5 days. So, it's no good. I feel like that's the kind of thing that I thought was gone once I got out of parenting young people, young babies. Like, my kids are older now, I should be good. Nah, not so much. I got sick almost right after that locker cleanout day last week.
Nashville will be fun tonight. They'll be wound up, and you're right. They do kind of come in without the fanfare of teams right around them in the standings. San Jose only had two more points in a much easier division. Tampa Bay only had one more point. Everyone likes them against Detroit after taking two at home. They're going to need a really good performance while Anaheim tonight. Enjoy the game, sir.
All right, thanks. You too.
Darren Haynes, flamesfrom80feet.ca.